The first scripture reading for today comes from Numbers 9, chapter 9, verses 15 to 18. That is from the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verses 15 to 18. This can be found in the Red Pew Bible on page 127. Listen now and hear the word of God. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle, like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Here ends the first scripture reading.
We're so looking forward to today and hearing from the Reverend Dr. Deborah Bronkema. I met Debbie in 1991 at Princeton Seminary. She was dating my brother at the time, and I really tried to discourage her from going any farther with that, but she did not listen to me. She's one of the few people, actually probably the only person in the sanctuary who still calls me Bobby. Disregard that. Do not pay any attention to that at all. You can read her bio in the bulletin. Just really encourage you to buy the book that she's just written called Finding Manna, which touches on some of her life experiences. Although it's a fictional book, but it's a really powerful, moving book. So Debbie, welcome to First Pres and welcome to the pulpit. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me here. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A seminary professor had to make a major decision. He lived in England, and he was offered a job in California. Now, he was very concerned that taking the opportunity would cause great upheaval in his family's life. But the job had possibilities that were beyond anything he could ever see happening where he was. Still, this was not the kind of decision he could easily reverse if he did the wrong thing. He didn't know what to do. Didn't know what the right answer was. He prayed about it, and he worried about it through many sleepless nights. Then one day, one of his students, who knew nothing about his struggle, came to him and said, "Professor, I don't know what this means, but all through class I kept hearing, 'Tell the professor Judges 18:6. Now they looked at each other, and neither one of them knew what that passage was. So they got out the Bible. And here's what Judges 18:6 says. Go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval. That is an amazing story. And part of what makes it such an amazing story is that that is not usually the way we experience the voice of God in our lives. Oh, we wish we did. Maybe we wish we were like the Israelites who followed the Spirit of God from place to place in the reading from Numbers, because they could clearly see the fire shining in the cloud. How wonderful to know exactly where to go and exactly when to stop moving. Here today in the gospel reading, Jesus tells us to ask and it will be given to you, to seek and you will find, to knock and the door will be open for you. What I'm wondering about Christians in the world and in this room today is, do we take the time to ask? Do we take the time to seek God's will? Do we accept the challenge of knocking on the door? If not, why not? I think for me and for my house and for my church in Pleasantville, New York, when we don't take the time, well, some of the time it's because we are trying to do it all ourselves. God has gifted us, so we already have the answers. That's the theory, anyway. We already have what we need. We use our energy trying to control the outcomes. But when we do that, when we move away from the asking and the seeking, we are leaving behind the way that could make all the difference. Have you ever heard of a prayer of indifference? It sounds strange. It's not about indifference in the form of apathy. A prayer of indifference asks God to help us be indifferent to everything but the will of God. Indifferent to everything but the will of God. To prepare ourselves to ask that, we need to ask ourselves, what do I need to let go of for the will of God to come forth in my life, in the session meeting, as we plan for EVBS, VBS maybe in your town? How can I loosen the grips on my own agenda? As some of you heard last night, some years back in my doctoral program, I began exploring creative writing as a spiritual practice. I've learned a lot on that journey. I learned about how we are created to be creative. I learned that slowing down to write, to actually put a pen to a paper, stopped some of the busyness of my life. Most significant of all, I learned that embracing this spiritual practice with groups of people in my church and in other places made room for the presence of God to show up in our stories and in our lives and in our world. It felt as if we discovered again how to seek the God we did not often make enough space for in our daily lives. We live in a very noisy world, without very much room at all to hear each other, let alone the voice of God. Here's the thing. Everybody has a story. There's something going on inside each and every one of us. When we speak without paying attention to the other person, we are likely to miss the real story that might come out in words and in actions, helping us experience the image of God even in the person we disagree with as strongly as possible. We are likely to miss the story of God at work in the world. To do God's justice, to walk with God, we need to open the eyes of our hearts. We need to recognize the opportunities we have to knock on God's door together, to find a third way together, to express the compassion of Christ in the way we treat not just the people like us, but everybody. Together, we can bridge the gaps that separate us from God. Together, we can hear God's word to us. Once, on behalf of a presbytery, I was asked to visit a church that had just inherited a large amount of money. The problem was this church had already ceased thriving when that happened. They were in an urban area of a small city. They had many problems, a failing school district, a high unemployment rate. The church had not brought in new members in 25 years unless they married into one of the 15 families that were already there. To say they had an issue with being welcoming, well, I got to the meeting and there were keep off the grass signs all over the front lawn of the church. The man who left them the money had not been part of the church for 35 years. He just never got married or had children, and he remembered it as a good place in his childhood. So I asked, as the meeting opened, what do you think he was hoping for when he gave you this gift? And one of the people said, well, I figured he wanted to give us enough money that we could hire a pastor to serve here until the last one of us was dead and buried. That's really what he said. And the people around the room went, yeah, sounds right. There was an interim pastor, and as I was catching my breath, the interim pastor said, I don't think we're ready for this meeting. Could we come back in a month after we've prayed about what God might be calling us to do with this money? I mean, everybody pray, and everybody write down what you hear, and then we meet again. So they agreed to that, and I remember the drive a month later having pretty low expectations. We called to order with prayer, and the pastor just said, well, what did you hear? One man said, well, this is weird, but for some reason I kept thinking about a basketball hoop. You said, say what you heard, that's what I heard. Everybody laughed. A woman said, you know, I kept thinking about buying the property behind us, because we don't have any outdoor space for parking or anything, really. Then a woman said, don't know what this has to do with church, but I kept thinking about my years as a math teacher. The interim pastor said, beginning to hear something in the room. Then a man said, well, what came to my mind was how one of those Sunday school rooms we never use could be a place to tutor kids. And another spoke up and said, I just kind of picture all the kids in our neighborhood who seem to have nothing to do after school. I see them on the streets all the time. At that point, everyone began to hear it. The light was shining in their eyes and in their hearts. They had a call from God to do something outside their comfort zone, to meet the community where they were, to use the gifts they'd been given to reach kids who needed something that they had to share. Together, they were able to leave behind fear and embrace this possibility of trying something new, taking a risk that would let them be alive. Someone said, well, what about you, Pastor? And the pastor said, I just kept imagining us going together to take down the keep off the grass signs. And they did. God's world needs people who are alive to their lives, who pay attention to the moments, the possibilities that are right in front of them, people who are willing to find their way past assumptions to honor the light in front of them, remembering that everyone has a story, people who are willing to open the eyes of their hearts. Who we are is who we are becoming. We are a work in progress. We are people who are learning day by day to listen to God's word, to let it live in us. It sounds so simple, these words of Christ. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. But to live out that story, we need to ask and seek and knock. We need to pay attention to Jesus, to hear his voice and follow him, to spread the love and compassion that comes from listening to God's voice, to looking for God's love, and notice it pointing us in the direction we need to go. May the eyes of our hearts be opened this day in all days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we do give you thanks for the reminder that we all need, that you are speaking to us daily. You are that parent looking over the horizon, waiting for us to come back home, but you are out there every single day. You're the one knocking. You're the one seeking us. And we give you thanks for that. Help us, Lord, to recognize that in a daily way. Help us to recognize that if we would just open our eyes and open our hearts and open our ears for your word, we will surely hear it around us. And we pray this now in your holy name. Amen. Shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. You may be seated. For the prayers of the people, we have a number in the bulletin today that are fairly recent. Bradley King, who is the grandson of Doug and Sue. Wow, that was impressive. Doug and Sue King. So lift up Bradley, born prematurely, so just needs your help at this time. Continue to pray for Alice Mahan, who I believe is still at LG. Oh, no, she's in Lancaster Rehab. Don Gulliver, who's at Mennonite, also in rehab there. He's off oxygen now, so praise God for that. And he's recovering and getting stronger. Rosaria Vincenzi, she was our hostess in Italy, kind of organized all the work there. She's having surgery this week. If y'all could lift her up. Kevin Kaufman continues to recover. And Candy Halstead, I believe, made it home. I think so. I'm pretty sure she's home. I don't see Cheryl here today, unless she switched sides. Some of you all switched sides today. You threw me off. And you'll see others. Any other prayer requests? Any other people that we want to lift up in prayer today? Yeah, Jerry. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you. Continue to pray for Jerry's father. Yeah. I heard that this morning. Norma Weaver fell at the church, I think, at the subsale or after the subsale. And so is still bumped and bruised from that. And got stitches or needed stitches? Okay, got stitches. So pray for Norma. She's not here today as a result. So lift her up during this time of prayer. Yes, Alice. Okay. Pray for Alice's uncle. Let's go to God. Loving Lord, we do give you thanks for this family, and we give you thanks that we can share joys and share concerns, and we lift up now the individuals that we've mentioned by name. We pray for little Bradley. We pray for Alice and Don, Rosaria and Kevin and Candy. Lord, we lift up Jerry's father, and just a celebration and thanksgiving of a miracle. We pray for Norma as she recovers, and Alice's uncle as he faces the valley of the shadow of death, and watch over him and allow him to experience your presence in a very tangible, real way. God, we know that there are others that we want to lift up and we just haven't, but we do during this time, knowing that you are a God who loves, who embraces, who is close to us through every single season of our life. Especially now, Lord, in this season in the life of this church, we give you thanks that we are able to see your face almost on a daily basis. We give you thanks for Strasbourg Day yesterday, that was such an incredible display of your presence, and how churches in this community are able to come together and just produce something that draws the community together as well. So, Lord, we lift up this community. Pray for a revival, and that you would teach us how we can be significant players in that revival. We lift up this nation and ask that you will send your Holy Spirit, especially during this time, in a way that would make us different, in a way that would make the members of First Presbyterian not get sucked into the culture in which we find ourselves, which is a culture of division, but help us to be a people of unity. We lift up not only this church, but we lift up this world, and we think of the places that have just been ravaged by storms. We think of our farmers who this season has not been a good season at all. We think of those who are facing transitions in their life, and we thank you for the sun that continues to shine. And God, there's so many things as we see food in front of us for which we are thankful. But we're especially thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has given us eternal life. And it is upon that truth that we base all of our actions. It is upon that truth that we respond out of gratitude. And so Jesus, like the earliest disciples, were taught how to pray. So we pray that prayer by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.